Now in year number 6, it's a Yank on the Footy with Craig Wessels. Everybody sit back and enjoy a chat about the greatest game on the face of the earth. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I do hope you'll share it with your friends and family. Cheers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 328 of A Yank on the Footy. I'm Craig Wessels coming to you from Huron, Ohio, just down the road from Sandusky, Ohio. I'm actually at my mom's house as she recovers from surgery. It's a bit of a rough week, but my sister and I have been playing caretaker. She's getting around well. She got a new hip, and we had a little bit of a scare, but she's doing fantastic and thrilled that she's doing well. I'm glad you're checking out this episode. In just a minute, I'm going to be joined again by my mate, Mick Aussie, who I was not able to meet up with last week to chat about round 8 and touch on a couple of the big news items of the week as well. Now, if you haven't headed over to my website, yankonthefooty.com, I do hope you'll head over there and get signed up on the mailing list. So when new episodes come out, they'll be in your inbox within about 15 minutes of when the new episode is released. And also, if you enjoy the podcast, head over to my website again and get subscribed on the mailing list, and over on YouTube, make sure you subscribe there as well. Now, today's club of the episode are the Penguin Football Club from Tasmania. The club plays in the Northwest Football League, and Penguin is located on the northern coast of the Bass Strait between Burnie and Devonport. And the Two Blues, as they're called, were founded back in 1890, and they play their games at the beautiful Dial Regional Sports Complex. Absolutely gorgeous complex. I was looking at some images online today. And the club dropped their first two contests of the year, but they bounced back to knock off Ulverstone this last Thursday. And among the club's alumni, you're going to find Fred Wooler, who played 132 games with Geelong from the mid-50s to the mid-60s. Tim Evans, who played 289 games between Geelong and Port Adelaide and is the full forward on Port Adelaide's greatest team of all time, along with Michael Gale, the older brother of Richmond's Brennan Gale. And Michael played almost 200 games split evenly between Fitzroy and Richmond. And the Two Blues play their next game on 11 May at Dial Park, facing off against Circular Head, the Saints. And I want to wish the Two Blues the absolute best in 2024 and hope you have a fantastic season. So let's go ahead and jump into my chat with Mick Aussie.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am glad to be back joined by my mate Mick Aussie after a week off. It was a bit of a tough week in terms of getting things scheduled. So, Mick, how are you doing there, fine sir?
Yeah, good, mate. I'm on vacation from driving as well, so it's good to, sleep in a bit in the morning, but plenty to do.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it's been a busy week here. You know, I do want to go ahead and put this out there for, you know, folks that do listen to the podcast on a regular basis. As many of you know, I was planning on making a trip to Australia this year, and I postponed it for a couple of reasons. One, with my daughter moving, which that could become a bit of an issue right now as well. But I did mention I had a little bit of a health situation I was trying to figure out. Well, I have figured it out. And by this time next week, I will have had hernia repair surgery. So let's just keep the jokes to a minimum as far as those go. Okay. If y'all wouldn't mind.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Should be lots and lots of fun, and we won't get into what you've got going on next Tuesday, but because I would be, what's the term I want to use, a real asshole if I was to mention it.
That's all right. It's fact of life. I'm going for my second colonoscopy, so it's not much fun.
We're both.
You can ask me anything you want. I didn't give a shit.
we're both taking it in the groin next Tuesday, unfortunately.
Mate. And I'll be doing lots of shits when you take that medicine. Oh, mate, it's not funny.
Now,
better than getting cancer and not knowing, right?
Now, are you working the day before the surgery?
Oh, hell no. I'm taking the day off after as well. I can't eat for a day before, so I won't be driving the day after.
I know that. That's why I was wondering if you were going to go ahead and try to play leapfrog with different toilet situations around Edmonton by taking the medication the day before if you were working, because that would have been a great little video blog right there.
Mike, it's terrible. It's not fun.
Better than
getting cancer. So anyone raising me up, just realize you might have to do it one day too.
Well, I've done it. I've got to do it again in another few years with the same doctor that's going to be doing my hernia surgery. So
all right.
So let's Let's get into your Crows here real quickly, because one of the legends of Adelaide, Rory Sloane, is stepping away from the game. He's not been able to get his eye injury to the point, I think, where it's going to be allow him to continue playing. What is, you know, as a Crows supporter, what is Rory Sloane's legacy with this club?
Oh, to me, he's one of the greatest Crows players. I mean, when they came runner-up in the grand final in 2017, that period, he was probably their best player over a period of several years. Great mates with Taylor Walker, great surfing mates with Patrick Dangerfield. And that's why I thought Patrick Dangerfield may have stayed with the Crows, because of that friendship. Terrific, gutsy on ball, skillful, head over the ball, fair. Just a great player that everyone loved.
Yeah, just a really, really, really good guy. Yeah, I'm sad to see him go, but it sounds like he's planning on sticking around with the club and continuing to train, because there are discussions, I guess, that he's going to try to figure out whether or not he wants to get into coaching himself.
Yeah, I think he'd be good. And I was always worried that he might have gone a year too long. So this year was always questionable how many games he would play. But, you know, with eye trouble, you can't blame him, and at his age. So people only seen him play the last 3 or 4 years. That's not Rory Sloane. He was absolutely brilliant up to, say, maybe 2018, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I honestly don't know this, and you might have some more insight about this than I do, but does him stepping away from the game and retiring and basically, you know, being removed from the list, if you will, does that have any salary cap implications for the Crows, to where it allows them to save money going forward into next year that they can use on other players, that type of thing?
Oh, mate, I'm no mathematician. I actually don't know that, mate. I think he only signed for this year, if I'm not wrong. So I don't think it would benefit much this year, if at all. But I don't actually know the real answer to that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either. So if anybody knows, I'd love to hear about that. Yeah, so, you know, the Anzac round this year was only the third round in the history of the AFL where the nine games for the weekend drew over 400,000 fans. You had round one this year was at 408. And this past round was 408. You had 413 in round one this year. And then round one in 2017 was also over 400,000. So a really good turnout of fans and support, you know, at the games this past weekend. And there were some quality games this past weekend.
Yeah, well, when you got the big Melbourne teams drawing massive crowds, Magpies and Bombers and Cats and Carlton, I mean, that's where you're going to get the record. But just back on that Rory Sloane, well, because there's no mid-season changes, trades, the salary cap wouldn't be affected anyway, no matter what you did this year, I wouldn't think. But anyway.
But it would open up a spot for them to maybe select somebody in the mid-season draft if they felt compelled to do so.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the one other thing that you know that I saw come across the you know, Code Sports that I was reading is that there's a little pushback about the midseason trade period that is coming, and it was from a rather interesting pair of clubs. Brisbane and GWS are both saying that they are not fans of the midseason trade period because they think it's going to benefit the Victorian clubs. Because, you know, that's where most of the players happen to be. So, you know, trading amongst the nine clubs in Melbourne and Geelong, you know, would make it a little bit easier on themselves than it would be, you know, a player moving interstate. And I know one of the things they also talked about, you know, was that the, you know, players would be concerned about moving their kids out of school, you know, mid-season and that sort of thing. And I wonder, you know, because, you know, you watch sports here in the United States, you know, and I'm not sure how closely you follow baseball, but, you know, baseball players get traded all the time. And many of those players, you know, they may have an apartment in the city that they play in, but they may have a permanent home in Arizona or Texas or Florida where their family lives and spend, you know, they spend their off season down there. So, you know, if a player gets traded from, say, you know, Hawthorne to Brisbane, who's to say that the family had to go to Brisbane? Wouldn't he not just finish out the season in Brisbane and just, you know, figure out how to use Zoom calls on a regular basis?
That's a very good point. Mr. Yank Footy, and we have talked about this in the past.
Yeah.
So firstly, I'll do the negative on it. Yes, moving families is expensive, and the salaries of AFL players are, what, $1 million tops compared to USA, where it could be 50, 30, 20 million. So the money is absolutely a factor. And agreed, the Melbourne clubs have a huge advantage there because Melbourne players can move from one team to the other and not move house.
Right.
So, yes, I agree with the interstate clubs, including Adelaide clubs and Perth and those in Brisbane. And costs of houses now are ridiculous in the big cities in Australia as well. But like you just said, maybe the guys need to toughen up and be away from their wives and families for a few months like they do over here. So, but you know what it's like? Gotta be careful what I say here, but
well, I was gonna say it could lead to other issues.
I'll say it. We're not in as much of a man's world now, and sometimes the lady of the house can have too much influence over their man compared to in the past. If I said that politically correctly?
Not too bad. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say. So what if the guy goes away for 3 months and only sees him every couple of weeks like it happens in the USA? So, but generally, I'm against it. There you go.
Yeah, well, because, you know, most of those clubs, when they're, you know, they're going to be playing interstate games anyway, so they would be coming back to, you know, at least for, you know, a day or two, they'd be coming back so they could see the family, you know, because you're going to be playing, you know, on average, if you're from Brisbane, you're going to be playing a handful of games, you know, in, you know, the and you know, at Marvel or at the MCG during the course of the season. Because I'm just looking real quickly at
Maybe they do it that the player has to agree to it. Then it can't be forced on them.
Right.
For young single lads, they'd gladly move for a more better of an opportunity. Absolutely,
I would think so.
I agree with it if they put rules in place. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's, you know, they're, you know, there are some things where, you know, like in baseball, I don't know if this is still the case because I've not watched baseball in 5 years now, but they used to have what were called 10-5 players. So if a player had been in the league for 10 years, or if they had been playing with the team 10 years and 5 years with the team that they are on at that point in time, that they could refuse a trade.
Right.
And say, I'm not going to go play with, you know, Club X or Club Y. I'm not going to leave the Yankees to go play with, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays, or I'm not going to leave the Guardians to go play with the Dodgers, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So, yep. So we're going to kind of get into this when we talk about their game this year. So I'll hold off on this one. But let's get into talking about the games that we have this week, because there's some very competitive and interesting games. Of course, you know, you got the huge game at the Adelaide Oval with the Crows hosting the Port Adelaide Power. What are they? Okay, I'm not sure if we're going to say that now, but yeah, you call them the Pap Smears. So we'll go ahead and go with that. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting matchup because, you know, Port had, you know, a devastating injury with Sam Piles-Pepper going down for the season. You know, Ivan Soldo is going to be out for about a month. You know, the Crows are relatively healthy on this one. What are your thoughts on this one?
Oh, well, Port Adelaide, they can't kick straight. 11 goals, 16 last week against the Saints. What can I take out of the Crows beating that disgraceful, pathetic North Melbourne Kangaroos coached by the overrated Coach Clarkson in Hobart by 50-odd points? Not sure that I can take much out of that. Maybe it will give them some confidence. Well, of course it will give them some confidence, but then you come up against a tougher opposition. It's totally different. Crows beat the Power last two showdowns I read today, and absolutely. So, I don't know. Power favored by 2.5. It could be an upset, but Power are the better team. I'll stick with them, but hope I am wrong. And Daniel Curtin, good luck to him. The Perth boys rave about young Daniel Curtin. Mm-hmm. So he was the number 8 pick for the Crows, making his debut.
Yeah. And I think I've ended up dumping him off of my fantasy team because I had a few injuries, and I'm really frustrated because I left like an extra 40 points on my bench on my fantasy team. And Rowan Marshall missed about 15 minutes of the game last week, and I lost by, I believe, 4 points. I would have won last week had I had that not occurred. So, oh well. Yeah, we've got back-to-back phenomenal matchups here. You got Carlton hosting Collingwood, And, you know, the Blues have just got a massive injury list. I think, you know, they and Richmond, their injury lists are comparably massive. And, you know, but they managed, you know, they managed to push the Cats to the brink last week. You know, one, you know, lost by just a couple of goals. You know, the Pies, they've scuffled. They haven't made it back into the eight yet. You know, they ended up, you know, kissing their cousin, as they say, by, you know, playing to a draw against the Bombers this past week here. I'm going with Collingwood to win this one by 8 points. I just think they're a better side right now. Just to, if the injury list for Carlton was a little smaller, I might go with them.
Yeah, look, that game, Carlton and your Cats, was maybe my favorite game of the year so far. Very entertaining, very good standard, except for Carlton's terrible goal kicking. 15-15, they blew it. Your Cats kicked straight, 18-10. Blues are actually favored last time I checked by 3.5. Magpies might be without DeGoey and Mitchell.
Right, right.
But I'm with you. I just trust the Magpies a little bit more than the Blues. I can't trust the Blues. And Harry Mackay was starting to get the yips a bit. And I picked Carlton to miss the eight. So I hope the Magpies win.
Well, yeah, we're gonna be getting to my grand final winner here in the not too distant future. So it's and I'm off the bandwagon with them. So we've got then the crosstown rivalry up in Sydney with the Swans hosting the Giants. And this is a huge contest. Looks like Canelio and Sam Taylor should be back. Luke Parker should be back in for the Swans. I think that the social media trolling that we're going to see throughout this week between, you know, between these two clubs, the Swans are not quite as snarky as the Giants are on their social media, but it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this. And what are you thinking on this one?
Oh, game of the year now, isn't it? What a second versus third. I didn't realize this, but I read today Giants have won 4 of the past 5 against the Swans, including a 1-point win last year. Big ins for the Giants and magnificent win against the Lions. They kicked 17-11, so good goal kicking. Swans massive win over the Hawks. Swans are the second to top scoring team and the second best defense. I nearly changed my pick tonight, but I'll go with the initial gut feel of the Swans. They're favored by 3.5. But honestly, it could be just either way. And I think it might be an absolute ripper of a game.
Yeah, I think it will be as well. I'm going with the Swans as well. But if this was being played at the honorary Mason Cox cow paddock that the Giants seem to play in, you know, I would probably go with GWS on this one. But since it's going to be a home Sydney crowd, I think that's going to be a few extra points to them. So I'm going with Sydney to win this one as well. And, you know, St. Kilda, the next game, you know, again, I had St. Kilda in my top four this year, and maybe they still get there, but it's not looking good. I just don't think they have enough firepower quite yet. They probably need another good draft and offseason to add on a few more quality bodies. They're hosting North Melbourne. And I got to ask you, first of all, before we decide, you know, who's going to win this one, is North Melbourne going to win a game this year at all?
Hope not. Probably not. I used to like them, but you know what I think lately of their coach and their club? Mm-hmm. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Yeah. I'm going with St. Kilda to win this one by about 4 goals. So, and I'm being conservative there.
Yeah, they're favored by 36. So what's that, 6 goals?
Yeah.
Jimmy Webster's back after the high knock on Jai Simpkin. That's obviously Clarkson's non-mate. Jack Higgins out for 3 games after whacking Alir's head on the ground. So, yeah, that was a bit rough. That was fair enough. Oh, Saints will win. Don't care about the Roos. Don't actually want to even think about them right now. They're just a mess. And the most overrated coach in the last few years, Alistair Clarkson.
And again, I was not following the game when he won the 3 premierships in a row. But was that, because I think he came in not too long before they hit that stride and won those premierships, if I'm not mistaken. Was that correct?
Yeah, he actually struggled early, but then they had a great draft. They
got like Luke Hodge and Buddy Franklin in the same draft. Hodge, I think.
Franklin, and
Roughhead.
Roughhead, yes. They got three in that one draft that really propelled them. And look, Clarkson's a smart guy. I'm dissing him a bit lately, but he's so smart. He outsmarted the AFL bosses and basically bought in this defensive, like, running in pack zone type mentality, which won in premierships, but it made the game boring.
Yeah. Well, and you know, while we want to have an exciting game, ultimately, you know, Hawthorn supporters are going to be happy that they have the, you know, the memory and the reminiscing about those premierships.
Oh,
and
of course.
You know, they don't give a shit about how boring the games were. They just know that they've got three cups that they can go look at their headquarters.
Yeah, he's not doing too well lately, is he?
No, his cup is running empty right now. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So you talked about Sydney GWS maybe being the game of the year. You know, numbers 2 and 3 on the ladder. We follow up, you know, St. Kilda and North Melbourne with numbers 1 and 4 on the ladder, with Melbourne hosting Geelong.
Yeah, but I don't rate the D's as great just yet. Your Cats, man, eh? 7-0. And honestly, now I've finally forgiven Patrick Dangerfield for leaving the Crows. It took, what'd it take me, 7 years?
Yeah.
I like your Cats, mate. They're the most exciting team to watch, with the best player in the league, I think. I mean, if I was about to pick a team right now, the first person I would pick on the team would be Jeremy Cameron. He's so valuable. And your young kids are very good as well. Hawkins is struggling a bit, but he's still valuable. He'll come good. I'm going with the Cats. They're favoured by 1.5, but at 7-0, they're due a letdown, and it might be this week.
I'm going with the Cats as well. You know, the great thing about Hawkins is that he has such, you know, because he's not kicked a goal in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But he has such a reputation and such a history as being, and he is a prolific goal kicker. But clubs are, I think they're, you know, it's kind of like in the NFL, and I'm sure in the CFL, where you've got the secondary, you know, double covering somebody. You know, you have to pick your poison. Who do you want to stop? Do you want to stop Hawkins? Can you stop Cameron? Because he's running all over the fucking ground right now. He's not staying in, you know, the forward 50. You're finding him up in the defensive 50, you know, more often than not right now. And his aerobic skills, I haven't seen the distances that he's covering, but he's got to be doing, you know, 7, 8, 9 miles a game. And, you know, and then you got Ollie Henry and Stengel and Ollie Dempsey and Myers, just, you know, kind of like the John Stockton, the little point guard there that's distributing the ball. It's a pretty scary group, and Hawkins is doing a great job of distracting, you know.
Look, I said this last year when I watched Cameron and Curno live at the MCG, you really get the feel of how dominant and how great of players they are, more so than watching on TV. You can see them running to the right spot and just take that big mark. So terrific player. He's always been one of my favorite. And Patrick Dangerfield, man, until he did his hammy, he was on fire, those breakouts out of the center. So sad to see Dangerfield go down again with a hammy.
Yeah, I'm going with the Cats in this one as well. Now, I have to ask you, if you were Chris Scott and you got who they believe to be their ruck of the future in Toby Conway, and he's only played 3 games so far, but he's played pretty well in the 3 games that he's played. Do you double up with your Dangerfield out? You know, you've got Blitzabs who can run forever and ever and ever, and, you know, plug him in the midfield, maybe in the Dangerfield spot, and you play with two rucks to try to wear down Max Gawn this week?
Oh, you'd probably know more about that than me, mate. You follow your team closer, but Blitzards is damn good. So, yeah, a bit risky taking 2 big men in, as we know, with the game being small around the packs more.
True. That's true. Yep. So we've got West Coast hosting the Bombers out at Optus. And, you know, the Eagles, they've played some really solid footy the last month. I mean, this is a club that, you know, that people, you know, have been able to come along and say, okay, it's the Eagles. We're going to go ahead and, you know, add, you know, 5 or 6 percentage points onto the ladder for ourselves this week. Well, they're making it difficult for clubs. They've won 2 games already in the last 3 weeks. You know, and I don't think they're going to beat the Bombers, but I think it's going to be closer than people think because they're playing at home.
Yeah, look, I didn't talk to you last week, but wow, that was an incredible win by the Eagles over the Dockers, and won by so much. And yes, we got to talk about Harley Reid. I mean, hey, the hype was real because he's playing great. And finally, when I saw that Harley Reid was managed, I believed that he was managed. They did some tests on his body, and I thought, well, maybe it was right. I don't know. But I get so annoyed when I see players that are managed when they actually are out of form and they're too scared to say they're dropped or they've done that cocaine up the nose, one or the other, as we know.
So I was going to ask about
that. Was finally used correctly. Bombers to win, the favored by 11.5. I wouldn't be surprised. Eagles might get it done.
Yeah, I went with the Bombers by 9. And think about that 11.5. If this was 2023 and we were at this point in the season, the wheels had completely fallen off the Eagles like they did last year, that 11.5 points would probably be 31.5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If not more.
Yeah.
If not more. And it's, you know, it's, it is, it's good to see, but you know, for the rest of, you know, for us as fans that enjoy the game, it's good to see, but for the rest of the league, and again, it's probably still another 2 years before the Eagles are playing finals, but the Eagles are competitive again. And this is a club that has, you know, more cash on hand than any other club in the comp. So, you know, if they can find creative ways to do things within, you know, the extra money that they have as a surplus in terms of bringing in, you know, additional, you know, training staff and equipment and things like that, it may become something, you know, of, you know, an encouragement for people to want to come play with this club as they are ascending.
Yeah. Look, even like 5 or 6 weeks ago, I looked at the Eagles team. I'm going, hang on, he's a good player. He's a veteran. I'm thinking, well, they still got 10 or 12 like really good players. What the hell is wrong with them? And obviously a lot of their young kids just weren't up to it. And then you get Harley Reid comes in and stars, and the others come along with him. So they're not as bad as what they have been. And Elliot Yeo's back in great form. So Tom Barras is back in. They're a chance. Essendon, you don't know. Essendon a bit up and down. They've won 3 in a row, though.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they had a draw, didn't they? They had the draw, yeah.
Yeah, they did, yep. They got to kiss their sister. Yep, that's...
Yeah. I've never heard that before, but I did read that.
Yeah, so...
While we're at it, your girl you interviewed on your show, AFL in LA, whatever, I forget her name, she was funny this week. She said that the draw... The silence of the crowd after the draw was like a fart in an elevator. Hell, she's funny, isn't she?
Cindy does a great job. Yeah, if you've not checked out on Instagram, AFL from LA, and she's on Twitter as well, I highly recommend it because she does some really snarky bits about the game and is really in tune with the game. And you know, the video quality that she puts together is top notch as well. So I'm very impressed with what she does with her show and her channel. Yeah.
And the topics that she hits on are so relevant.
Yeah.
She's telling the truth more than half the time. It's absolutely brilliant. Reminds me of those TV shows where they do those news reports. Yeah. She's got talent, that girl. I don't know how much she rehearses and how much is off the cuff, but very funny. And I can see her going a long way. I enjoy it. I watched them again last night and commented.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've got 3 more games this weekend. We've got Richmond hosting Fremantle, and Richmond's injury list is just massive. You know, Hopper's out. You know, Gibkus is done for the year. Lynch is gone. Presti is gone, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So, I mean, it's just a beat up club right now. And, you know, Presti may be back, but probably not for another week yet. But I don't know. You know, Fremantle, you know, they got thumped by the Eagles. They dropped a couple close games, you know, to the Power and to the Blues, but I think that the Dockers are a far superior club at this point in time to the Tigers. I'm going with Fremantle to win this one on the road by about 2 goals. What say you on this one?
Yeah, they annoy me, the Dockers lately. They were starting off good, then smashed by the Eagles, And I should have listened to my daddy pick them to beat the Dogs, but I was so annoyed them. I actually picked the Bulldogs to beat them last week, so that pissed me off. Oh, they're just an annoying, boring team again. Amos is back. He's a good young forward. They're favoured by 11.5. Yeah, they'll probably get it done, but I won't be watching that game. No interest at all.
Well, I mean, I'll watch as many as I can, but, you know, who knows what, you know, I don't know what kind of prep work I have to do for this surgery, but it's good. I don't think I have to do any. I don't have to point or anything like that. They'll know where to look for it. But yeah,
well, Saturday night, 9 p.m. So I'll be going out, I think, Saturday night, seeing on Gabe's show Friday. So I won't be watching that at all.
Yeah, that's an 11 o'clock start for me. So that's not too bad. You know, the cats and D's are a 5:30 a.m. start for me. So that's really good. I like the 5:30 starts because I usually get those all done before the school day starts. I'll watch the first half at home before I go to my classroom. So we've got another trip to Marvel. And let me ask you this, okay? Because maybe Bulldog supporters would not like this because Marvel is their home ground. But we've got Richmond hosting Fremantle at the MCG. One of those two clubs will draw some fans. Richmond's going to draw some fans. I don't think you're going to see a large contingency of Fremantle supporters at the MCG. So my question is, would it have been in the interest of the game to maybe, and I'm probably going to be called out on this and told that I'm full of shit, which is not going to be the first time today. Shouldn't the Bulldogs and Hawthorne be playing at the larger facility, maybe?
Cathedral? I don't know. Will they probably won't sell out Marvel, will they? They might get close.
I don't know, but I just thought, you know, put them in a, you know, give them the, you know, the what, you know, considered, you know, the Mecca or the Holy Ground or the, you know, the Taj Mahal of footy, if you will.
But then that's given Hawthorne the advantage because Hawthorne is MCG's their home ground, right?
Well, that's
Bulldog is Marvel.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, that is true. Since it is a Bulldog home game. Okay, just pretend I didn't say any of that. Let's move on to the last game. I meant to the people listening. Yeah.
Listen, this is where if I was a Bulldogs player, I would reap the opportunity to play more games at the MCG because that's where the finals are. And that's why I think that you should be happy when the Cats get a home ground at the MCG. As we've talked about, they beat Carlton there and they get that advantage of that extra big game where the grand final is played.
Yeah, I know. Okay, the last... like I have said...
They won. You should agree with me. If they lost, you could complain, but they won, mate.
No, I know, but I again, you know, I'm... You're an NFL fan, you know, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but for those of you who've not heard this before, I've always joked that, you know, if the NFL came along and said to, you know, let's say that the Philadelphia Eagles were playing the New York Giants in a playoff game and the NFL and the way that it works in the NFL, if you have a better record then you are the home team all the time. There's no, well, this stadium takes precedent type thing. Okay, if you won your division or you're the higher seeded team, you play at your facility. But if the NFL were to come along and tell Philadelphia, you know, the Giants can seat 6,000 more people at their stadium than you can, so we're going to go ahead and play your home game in New York. Eagles fans would drive to New Jersey, which is where their stadium is, and burn the fucking thing to the ground before they let them play a playoff game there.
Good. I don't like the Giants or the Eagles.
Yeah. So, you know, and again, I don't see Cat supporters doing that with the MCG, of course, but yeah. So we got the last game of the round. We're back up at the GABA for Brisbane and Gold Coast. And are we seeing two ships passing in the night going in opposite directions right now?
Wow. You know what? I wish I listened to my dad last week because he picked the Dockers and he also picked the Giants. And I went against him, and I think Dad went 9-0. I went 7-2 because I picked the Lions, thinking they'll finally need to get their ass together, and they got destroyed by the Giants by 54 points. Are you kidding me? You know what? Let's talk about it again. There obviously was trouble in Vegas with the players screwing around or mucking around with other women. Not sure. Something happened. How come that story hasn't been brought up again? Because there's something wrong at the Lions. They are a mess. That said, They are, what, 13.5-point favourite. They should hopefully win. McInerney's back in with a concussion, the ruckman.
Right. Right.
And the Suns have lost by an average of 49 points the past five games at the Gabba, and the Suns haven't won away from home yet this year. That said, this could be a massive upset. Well, it wouldn't be a massive upset. I'll go for the Lions to win, the Suns to cover the 13.5.
Well, I am going with the Suns to get their first win at the Gabba in a while. I just think that, you know, they haven't won away from home, but they're close to home right now. It's almost like the Cats going to play at the MCG. They're just heading over to the Gabba. It's not that far away.
No, you're right.
So, and I think they'll actually bring some fans with them because this club is playing interesting footy. I'm not going to say great footy yet, but they're playing interesting footy. And this is a club that I think is going to continue to ascend. They're sitting at 9 right now and could find themselves, you know, possibly jumping into the 8. You know, if the Bombers, you know, win, they'll stay there. But if the Dockers, you know, were to drop something, or if the, you know, Suns, you know, get some percentage there, they could possibly jump in there. But if nothing else, I think they're going to stay close. And you know, the Lions are just so disappointing right now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting. You know how bad the Lions are right now? You know, this is how bad the Lions are right now. And I just noticed this because I was looking at the ladder on Footy Wire, and they are listed as the Bears on Footy Wire. So they're so fucking bad. They're so fucking bad right now that Footy Wire isn't even calling them by their own name. They said, we're going to go back to the previous name that they had at this point in time. So it's, I'm running through the ladder here, and I'm trying to find out where the hell they are on the ladder. I was like, where are they? Oh shit! Who the hell are the Bears? Oh, that's right. They used to be in Brisbane.
Yeah, yeah.
So they got somebody's got the wrong damn. How did they manage to do that? How did they get there? How do you put that team hasn't been the Bears in what? I mean, Jonathan Brown was playing with the Lions, so it's been 20 years, has it not? At least.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they won their flags as the Lions, didn't they?
Yeah. How did they make that mistake?
Because people are dumb and don't check things properly.
Yeah, but that just does not make a bit of sense to me. And that's just on the right. I mean, if I go to the detailed ladder, does it go back? No, it's still the Brisbane Bears on the detailed ladder as well. Unbelievable.
What site's that?
Footywire.com. It's the one I use this one all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you better tell them. Raise them up.
Yeah.
You didn't give your pick on the Port Adelaide Power Paps Mears versus my Adelaide Crows.
I'm going with Port Adelaide on that one. I'm sorry. I'm going with Port on that one as well. Yeah. I think they're too good of a side right now. I think it's going to be close. But, you know, maybe if they fix their kicking woes, I think they're going to win it by a goal and a half. I think it's going to be a great, you know, matchup because it's, you know, the showdown there. But I just think it's going to be,
There's three or four rippers this week, isn't there?
Yeah, there's some good games. There's some really good games, and I've got kids who have adopted clubs that they want to support. I've got one kid who's decided he wants to be a Swan supporter, and one that wants to be a Giant supporter, and because I've put some of the some of the social media stuff, you know, from the Giants. They've been up on my screen on my computer at school, and the kids are like, that's some pretty funny stuff there. So we didn't get a chance to do this last week. So are you ready for your slang word, your slang terms for this week?
Oh, especially yes, as I might be heading home soon. Not sure. No, I'm right.
Okay. All righty. This is an interesting one here that it may be too specific or too narrowed down for you, but we'll see here. What is FOSS kicking? F-O-S-S-K... F-O-S-S, I'm sorry, fossicking, no K. F-O-S-S-I-C-K-I-N-G.
Fossicking would be, the most common word would be fossicking for gold.
Exactly right.
Hunting
exactly.
for gold. Yeah.
Hunting All for right. gold, yep. Prospecting for gold, yep. Okay. Now, this is a different spelling than we have it here in the United States and probably in Canada as well, but what is a narc? N-A-R-K.
Didn't we have something like this similar the other week? Well, narc can be most common term is a dobber, like when you dob someone and you report them to your headmaster
right.
or the
yeah.
cops.
Yeah,
or your
boss
or something.
That's the one here. And I guess technically this person in Australian terminology would qualify as that, but it's an annoying person.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that would be the second. Yeah, that would be okay. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Now,
but I think what I said is more common.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think you're right on that. Yep. Okay. All right. What is a Buckley's chance?
A Buckley's chance. North Melbourne have Buckley's chance against the Saints this week.
Bingo.
Nah, it means like hardly any.
Yep. Not a chance or as good as impossible.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. And we've got, so you're 2 for 3 so far, 2.5 for 3. We're going to give you half credit for number
not
two.
Not three. You didn't give me that.
No. I mean, if we were talking about, you know, football here in the U.S., then yes, I would give you NARC for that one.
All right.
Okay. What does it mean to shoot through? which you're about to experience again here very soon.
I'm going to leave the missus and shoot through.
There you go. To leave. Exactly right. Exactly. Well, you're about to use another terminology for another term for that here in the very near future. And I wish you well with that, sir.
No, I'm all right. I'm staying. I'm getting a bit homesick, but I'm all right.
No. I'm talking about next Tuesday.
Oh,
yeah. Things are about to be shooting through you.
Oh, man.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Don't remind me. I want to have an enjoyable week up to Monday.
Exactly. So the last one. How's that? H-O-W-Z-A-T. How's that?
How's that? Like basically in a cricket terminology, he's out. Is he out? Yeah. How's that? Is he out?
Bingo. Outstanding. So you got 4.5 out of 5 this week after having had the week off. I thought about giving you a bonus.
You're not giving me 5?
That is the fifth one. Yeah, you did Foss Kicking, NARC, Buckley's Chance, How's That, and Shoot Through.
Oh, so you gave me NARC.
Yeah, I'll give you 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, you're tough. Give me 5 out of 5.
Hey, you know what? I'm a very tough grader at school, so I can't cut you any slack also. So.
All right.
before we wrap up, you know, I know you've got a lot going on with Edmonton Cricket. And with Mick Aussie TV, tell people where we can find your work and what have you got going on right now? Because I know you've sent out a whole bunch of information in the last couple of days.
Yeah, MickAussie.tv. It's MYKAussie.tv in the AFL section. I wasn't on Sports Grid last week because they had an NFL draft show, but that should be happening again Friday night, 8:40 Mountain Time. Where Gabe and I go through all the games and the picks, so that's a lot of fun. And, yeah, cricket's starting maybe tomorrow night, but it snowed a bit today, as it often does here. The fields get all nice, and then it snows and upsets everyone. So they're about to start soon.
Good deal. And you've got, you know, a pretty good contingency of athletes who are going to be coming back and playing again this year. So, and, you know, you do a great job of demonstrating and you know highlighting the game up there in Edmonton, and it's, you know, and good on you for that. I mean, that's much appreciated for somebody who's gotten into cricket a little bit more over the last year or so. I'm really enjoying checking out everything that you've got going on, and you know you're busting your tail to go ahead and do that. So any last words of advice before we wrap up here, because we didn't get a chance to get these last week?
I'm probably gonna say you just can't let what other people think affect you too much. And it probably has me in the past with what people back home think. Like, a lot of them just don't understand what I do here, and they're in their own little small town. So, yeah, just try not to worry what other people think. Like, I sent out a Facebook invite yesterday to 100 people that I considered friends for them to join Edmonton Cricket TV. It's the first time I've ever done it.
Yeah.
I got five replies. They just don't get too upset if you don't get as many YouTube views or as many whatever. You just got to do it for the love of it and hopefully make some money one day, but you got to do whatever you do online for the love of it. And if you take the criticism, just keep doing it because people are critical, right? And well, a lot of people won't help you. And that's why I'm loving posting on Cynthia AFL from LA, because she's a new talent that's come along and she's given me a fresh breath of air to also be confident and keep going talking sports on North American TV. So try not to let other people worry you too much. But hey, it affects everyone. Of course it does.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it's a, you know, we do this, you know, I'm doing this mainly because I love to do it. I mean, I love to, you know, have people, you know, hit that buy me a coffee button every single day, every single week? Absolutely. Does it happen as often, you know, as I wish it would? No, it doesn't. But, you know, every once in a while it does. And it lets me know that people appreciate, you know, the work that I'm putting into this. And I try to find, you know, great guests for interviews as well and give you a little bit of fun while we're doing, you know, talking about this from our vantage point, you know, you with the insight you have from having played the game and being Australian, and me, you know, having fallen in love with this game that people are sharing with me. You know, I love it because it's just, you know, it helps to keep me connected with people, you know, in a way that otherwise I probably wouldn't have. So, I mean,
and that's one reason I said to you a couple of years ago, hey, I'll help you on the Thursdays, Joe, with the picks, because I could tell from all the work you were doing and your website and everything, I could tell that you were in it for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people try things for a year or two, don't get the results, but you got to keep going. And sadly, you see some things online where I watched something last night, a guy in America commenting on AFL and other things in Australia. And it totally bored me, but he had like 50,000 subscribers. So you just never know, mate.
Yeah.
You don't know what people like.
Yeah, right? And it's just, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm really looking forward to going there next year, so I can, you know, kind of just say, hey, you know, and meet up with as many people as I possibly can so they can, you know, put, you know, a face with the podcast, you know, as scary a face as it happens to be. But And I don't know if you've seen this, and folks, I just want to mention, you know, before we wrap up here and before, you know, Mick and I, you know, sign off for tonight, I mean, I'm putting my money where my mouth is on this, because if you haven't checked out my Twitter account or on my, I guess on my Facebook page as well, I mean, I went ahead and got my new license plates for my van since I bought the lease on my van. So now I now own my van, so I have to get my own plates rather than the ones they provide. And I'm just like Brian Bay from the state of Kansas. We now both are proud owners of license plates that spell out GEELONG on our plates. I've got Geelong plates on my van now. Those are my Ohio license plates, okay?
Oh, my.
Love that club. Yeah.
That's awesome, mate. And you know what? I got to go because the CFL draft's about to happen. But maybe you should have gone this year, because it might be the catch year, mate.
It might be, but I wouldn't have been able to be there then anyway. So maybe I'll have to if they get there, maybe I'll have to take a personal day or two and try to, you know, book a flight to get over there.
Yeah.
Yep.
No worries.
Alrighty. Yep. Well, hey, Mick, have a fantastic evening. Enjoy the rest of your vacation. And, keep your chin up next Tuesday, mate. I'll be thinking about you.
Oh, good. And let's hope the Cats go 8-0 and beat those rotten demons. See you later, man.
That'd be awesome. Cheers.
All right, Mick. Hey, man, thanks for hopping on to chat today. This has been an interesting week. I know we're recording this a day early. We do not have any teams released as of this point in time, so it's pure supposition on our part. But we're both going to do great on our tips this week. Now, folks, it's going to be a great weekend. There's round 8. And look out for one another. Check up on your friends. Make sure you give them a call if you need to talk to somebody. Reach out to them. It's all about friends and family. Make sure that you let them know that you care for them. And if you need to talk to somebody, reach out. Those numbers are always in the show notes of every episode of this podcast. And if you need those numbers, they're there. Please check them out. Remember, folks, you can find everything related to my podcast over at my website, ayankonthefooty.com. Again, I hope you'll get on the mailing list. I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast. And if you enjoy it, I do hope you'll leave a 5-star review. And also, if you'd share the podcast with your friends and family and tell them about this crazy American who loves your game and is so thankful that you shared it with me, I'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. And remember, you can find everything there. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, at ayankonthefooty@gmail.com. I spend a lot of my time on Twitter, @yank_on over there. And I do appreciate the kind words and support, ladies and gentlemen. And as always, may your dribble kick never hit that post. I will catch you later. And this has been episode 328 of A Yank on the Footy. I do hope you'll share the podcast, get subscribed, head over to my website, check it out. Some great blog posts over there as well, some great stories that I'm telling from that vantage point. And until next time, everybody, cheers and goodbye.